Welcome to The Inner Game. I'm Gwen Garcelon, your host. Thanks for being here today. The Inner Game is about how we nurture and attend to our mind, body, spirit health, and how that allows us to play a bigger game and make a bigger contribution in the area of purpose that calls to us. And these are conversations with people who are committed to making an evolutionary difference with their lives from a place of balance and love and service. The first episode of The Inner Game aired in August of 2016. So now into 2025, it's been over 8.5 years. So lots of conversations that have been expansive for me and I hope for you. And I apologize that it's now March and I'm finally doing this best of 2024 show. I was sick in January and lost a friend days before the February show. And life is just like that, always challenging us to grow and be guided by what we value most and take the time we need to keep ourselves whole. And I love this tradition of looking back over the past year for the themes and messages that stand out. It's such a gift to me to get to do that. Because when I talk to these incredibly insightful and beautiful luminaries on the show, there's so much that they communicate, and it takes some time to integrate what they share. So when I go back and listen again, I hear more and I connect with their ideas on a deeper level. And I invite you to revisit some of these episodes. You can find them on Apple Podcasts or on the KDNK website. Just search for The Inner Game and you'll find the archive. So in February, I talked with Barb Chambliss, who wrote a book on peacemaking. She did her PhD in peacemaking studies. And her talk was so moving to me, listening to it back now as Gaza has now been pretty much totally razed by Israel and there's nothing for the Palestinians left alive to return to. And Barb, in her peacemaking studies, talked with a woman named Rohama from Israel, an Israeli woman who later in her life started a human rights violations organization, and they would go into places like the Gaza Strip and try and help, and they found a lot of broken arms. She found that the Israeli soldiers had been breaking men's arms so they couldn't shoot guns. And, you know, when Barb Button and I were talking, she kept mentioning that peace is created by meeting the needs of others, making sure everyone has access to basic needs of food and shelter and health care. And it just made me wonder, you know, like what the world would be like if that were really our goal of just meeting each other's basic needs and how much more peace there might be if that was really our main goal. She also talked about, in her book on peacemaking, she has a 25 points recipe for peacemaking activities. And a couple of things she says were, don't be motivated by anger long term. And that, I feel like, is a really important thing, is that we find a way to move from the anger that we feel into an expression of love. And she also said, when you are overwhelmed by what you can't do, focus on what you can do and take action on the next thing that occurs to you. Oh, that was a good one. And I usually ask my guests about what's their growth edge? What are they working on in their own spiritual and personal development? And she said she was working on making peace with Mother Earth. And this is such a theme that had run through the year, is right relationship with the earth, coming back into balance. And she, you know, also talked about acknowledging her part in the damaging of Earth and how she really wanted to build a tiny house to live in made with hemp blocks, which are regenerative building material, as a demonstration house. So just some beautiful stuff in there if you want to look back at Barb's conversation. I also got to talk with Tanya Blacklight. She's a healer who works with sound and energy and Reiki and herbalism, and she really focuses on reclaiming feminine power for wholeness in all people. And she vulnerably shared about her own experience as a survivor of sexual abuse. And she said something really interesting about the wound that perpetuates this abuse that's so widespread. And she said it's about our disconnect from Mother Earth, especially the separation of men from the land. And, you know, how so many of us, you know, are inside and in offices and separate from Mother Gaia and don't learn and experience that deep connection and honor that's natural when we spend a lot of time growing up on the land. And that was really interesting to me. Feels like something we all can do something about as parents, making sure our children have a really embodied relationship with the land. She talked about how all wisdom traditions and indigenous practices involve sexual tantric practice. And losing this in our culture has had potentially fatal consequences for us and made it possible for us to increase our violence toward Mother Earth. Again, because we aren't enculturated with those kind of practices that allow us to express in a healthy way. Let's see. You know, she also talked about how we treat women on their menstrual cycles and how that translates into how we treat the earth, where we don't allow the soil to rest. We keep injecting it with chemicals so it will keep producing. And that's so similar to how we treat women. And so these things have so many connections. And it's just really interesting to look back and kind of tease out these points. In June, I talked with Chris Beebe, who's a local architect who started a transcendental meditation practice at 14. Just so amazing to me. And he mentioned that, you know, meditation and spiritual practice, like fitness, for him ebbed and flowed in his life. But he realized that he was more aware of when he was kind of off the wagon and was better, and because of his practice, was better able to reassess and rebalance. And that's the real strength that's built through spiritual practice. And I was realizing that is such a strength. Just, I mean, especially the meditation practice increases our awareness so deeply. And awareness is the basis of any change we want to make in our lives. And we get better at cleaning things up and moving on because we have more compassion for ourselves and for others. So it's easier to clean up and ask for grace when we're not at our best. These are some really great things that were in that conversation with Chris. He mentioned how he had made a pivot during COVID because a project that he had been working on wasn't panning out. And he realized, you know, he felt like it was really okay to let go of the project from the energy of, I wonder what's next, you know, not knowing that it was not a dead end, that he hadn't failed, knowing that it's all part of the process and that life is always showing up for us. there aren't failures. There's just learning. It's all for our very best evolutionary purpose. So it was a beautiful reframe, you know, and just something, again, that gets built through practice is having that kind of a mindset. He also mentioned that it was hard for him as a man to acknowledge being in a really vulnerable place after his mom's death. He had just lost his mom in the last few years. And that reminded me of what Tanya had said about the need for reclaiming the power of the feminine in men so they can be whole as men. And that includes things like vulnerability. I also talked with Tara Sheehan, who teaches meditation and breath work and is creating a land regeneration project and sanctuary for bison in southern Colorado. And it's just so powerful for me to see how each of these people who have a spiritual development path in their lives and how much that really does allow them to increase the depth of their contribution in the world. Tara shared about the loss of her son to suicide, and she shared something so powerful to me as a mother, that our children are not ours to fix or keep from suffering. And it's so against our instinct as a mother. You know, we want to keep our children from suffering, but she said, you know, our job is just to be present with them and keep doing our work, our soul's purpose. And boy, she is such a powerful example of that. And we talked about connection to the land and the bison as evolutionary catalysts. And then how she's hoping to educate others about what bringing bison back can mean for climate action and regeneration of the land. And we realized we'd both been having a lot of sightings of red-tailed hawk. So we talked a little bit about hawk medicine and how all animals carry messages for us and have medicine for us, and how the red-tailed hawk is about the root chakra, about physical survival by creating unity within family, tribe, group, and collective consciousness. And that felt so like a big theme that was coming up about how important it is for us to be building greater depth and greater social capital within all of our familial groups, our community groups, and how necessary that would be for the future that we're, with the challenges that we'll face coming at us from a lot of different arenas. She talked about how root chakra was about helping us with courage. And courage to be vulnerable with those around us, helping us to see tribe wherever we go and risk making new friends. And that the root chakra is also, you know, represents, and red-tailed hawk medicine represents connection to the spirit world and a calling to pursue your soul's purpose, which really takes courage, especially when it's outside of the predominant paradigm. So really rich conversation about how we operate in community and how we operate in service to the world. So if you're just tuning in, this is Gwen Garcelon, and you're listening to The Inner Game on KDNK. I am doing the Best of 2024 show, where I'm revisiting the conversations and the themes that arose throughout the year. It's really a favorite thing of mine to do. And I get to do it in my birthday week, which is really lovely, even though it's so late in the year. So in August, I talked with Shayla Paradise, who is the author of Footprint of a Heart, about the 18,000 miles of hikes she completed and the deepening of her connection to Mother Earth and to her own heart. She talked about our way forward as a spiritual path, and about ending the separation that we find in so many ways, the separation that's at the center of war, the separation that happens inside us between our self-concept and our vulnerability, the separation of masculine and feminine, and just the need for integration and coming together as a really important theme. And she shared about the vision of a seat for everyone at the table, a world that works for everyone. And that goes back to meeting those needs for everyone, not leaving anyone out. Because when people are left out, they are left often very desperate. And that is the seed of violence. We talked about joy practices to raise the vibration and not feeling guilty about accessing joy, because it's really a service to the collective consciousness. Since we are all connected, we all feel the influence of joy. And it's an important thing for us to keep as a real practice, to get outside and be in awe and access all those things that bring us deep, authentic joy. She also talked about her relationship to the masculine and really wanting to rebuild her relationship with her father, and how that had been difficult because of her own fears of being controlled and her fears of being vulnerable, and how she realized that she had a role to play in being able to accept the divine masculine into her life in a bigger way. She and her partner also traveled to Hiroshima to be part of a peace and world unity ritual. And we talked about how that place was such a potent place to be doing this kind of ritual, and how Oppenheimer was a victim of toxic masculine culture and had been unsupported in his own integration, and, you know, how we see the consequences of those things showing up in the world. I also talked with Dawn Hall, who is on the training staff for the Transition Movement, a movement that began in the UK several years ago as an effort to prepare within communities for transition away from fossil fuel dependence, because we can see the writing on the wall and very few communities are transitioning fast enough to be able to be prepared for a world without fossil fuels, which is what we need. And Dawn also wrote a book called The Regeneration Handbook, Transform Yourself to Transform the World. Again, those themes of sacred activism. As a longtime meditator, he's seen the importance of his own spiritual development to his own activism, and, you know, the ability to hold more compassion when you're feeling anger, and having the goal of connection rather than separation, and how spiritual practice allows us to see our own limitations and connect more deeply with our core self and our soul purpose. And we talked about how as humans, we're really wired for connection with nature. And an important part of our work and practice right now is to rewild ourselves. And when I asked Don about his own growth edge, he talked about wanting to be bolder and more courageous, and how what we are doing isn't working, and to stop being so diplomatic and stop worrying about ruffling feathers and to share his truth in a bigger way, and stop waiting for permission to act and to follow our hearts, for him to follow his heart. And it's interesting to me that in the transition movement, a starting place for many communities almost across the board is to take on the development of their local food system. And a big part of that is that getting more involved in how we produce food locally connects us to the land so much more deeply. And that has all of those cascading benefits of reclaiming our relationship to the land and honoring that relationship. And so it's kind of a no-brainer almost. But rebuilding food systems is not an easy task. And reclaiming the health of soil and land is a long-term strategy. So it's important that we start now in whatever ways we can. So for you, that might be in this coming summer, starting a garden. It's a very profound thing to do. It can seem so simple and small, but it was actually one of the strategies that Paul Hawken included in his book on regeneration as one of the most powerful things we can do. In November, I talked with Adrian Howell, who is a photographer, storyteller, filmmaker, and athlete. He's actually making a film with local beloved Tucker Harris about the Thompson Divide. And he shared how it's so easy to be overwhelmed by climate doom, and how being still and being solo in nature is so key for him to be able to listen for how to show up. What are the stories to tell? How to take a complex story and tell it in a way that moves people into their hearts and into their agency. As as a fellow athlete, it was interesting to talk with him about the shift from a training mindset where we're going out and we're trying to create some kind of physical outcome, but to shift that into a practice so that it actually becomes like a spiritual practice. And that's how we've both started to experience it, and how much of a support that is in our work in the world. You know, he also shared something. You know, he's a millennial, and he talked about his generation not being as comfortable talking with people with differences because they're always in an algorithm that creates an echo chamber of people who all think the same way on social media. And that was really important to me to understand how that's happening and how that's programming us to be uncomfortable engaging with people with different views because we don't get as much practice doing it anymore through social media anyway. So I finished up the year by sharing a talk that I'd given called The Big Let Go. And some of the themes were to let go of what we think is possible based on the past, including what we think we are capable of. These are the things we're being asked to do right now. is to focus on visions of the future and not think about what's possible based on what has been. So, and to let go of what we thought gave us security. And again, this theme of community, like what we're finding is real security is in each other, in the strength of our communities and our families. And to be open to what we don't know. This is called epistemic humility, what we haven't experienced yet. The humility to have beginner's mind again and again, because if we're always basing what we think we should be doing off of what has been, we'll keep ending up in this place, which is not serving us. So I talked a little bit about letting go of regrets and forgiving ourselves for past transgressions, even the biggies, and to come into a right relationship with the earth. And I'll just end with, just a hope that each of you in this coming year will find the courage to have your own Rosa Parks moment. You know, she had to let go of the thought of what if this doesn't make any difference, because she'd seen so many things not make a difference in her life. And if we, you know, we just have to be in the present right now and do what we know is the right thing to do. That's the most important thing we can do. That's our Rosa Parks moment, is to, you know, not believe that the things that we're doing might be too small, but to do them because they're the right thing to do. That's what creates the coherence that has an evolutionary force beyond what we imagine might be possible. So thanks for listening to The Inner Game. I'll see you next month. Be courageous. Take care of yourself. We'll see you soon.